the Middle East peace agreement is collapsing just as Scripture foretold. Tonight, we uncover why true peace is impossible before Christ's return. The imminent collapse of the Middle East peace agreement starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there in New York City. How's it going up there, David?
Oh, very nice, very nice. Moving into fall. Things are pretty interesting. And just gearing up for the fascinating mayor race.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I don't know. What is the fascination with this guy all of a sudden? I don't understand.
Well, nobody likes him. They're just, the only fascination is because they're paying people to say that it's fascinating.
Because he's a Democrat?
They're paying. You know, he's got the millionaire people. He's in Obama's crowd. You know, yeah. He was forced in. No one knew who he was, and then all of a sudden he's the president.
Yeah, I mean, I've never heard of the guy before. You know, and then all of a sudden he's like the next great thing. You know.
He's never worked a day in his life. He's just an idiot. But everybody here hates him. Even the Democrats hate him. And the Democrats are voting for Sliwa because he's running as a Republican, but he's not a politician.
Yeah, I saw an ad for you sent it to me, where Democratic councilman was saying, no, not this guy. Yeah.
And in their own words. It's not like you were just saying that. It's like, nope, they put out the ads.
Well, David, would you mind praying us into this episode of The Last
Question? Why not?
And then we'll show everybody what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, let's do it. It's going to be fun. All right. So we thank you, Father, for this time together. We thank you for getting the word out over the airwaves. We thank you that it'll go forth and produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, I'm going to show everybody what we're going to get into because this is a pretty serious show today. And so we're going to, first of all, talk about the illusion of peace, and that's what we're encountering right now. And then we'll talk about the prophetic foundations here, what the Bible actually says must happen. In the second half of the show, we'll get into the words of Jesus himself about these last days. And then the last part of the show, we'll talk about why the secular world is ignoring biblical reality. So that's pretty significant thing there. Let's get right into it, David. We'll talk about the illusion of peace here. From the beginning, the quest for peace in the Middle East has been man's greatest diplomatic ambition and his most consistent failure. From the 1949 armistice agreements to Camp David, Oslo, to the Abraham Accords, the world has seen countless handshakes, photo ops, and promises of a new dawn. Yet every single one of them has eventually crumbled under the weight of ancient hatred and spiritual blindness. But for Christians, this is not a surprise. Scripture told us it would happen. If you look at 1 Thessalonians 5:3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Now, this is just some of the ancient, this is not, I should say, some of the ancient poetic warning of some type. It's a divine declaration. Whenever mankind proclaims peace apart from God, destruction soon follows. If you look at Ezekiel 13, verses 10 through 16, it vividly portrays false prophets who build flimsy walls and cover them with untempered mortar, deceiving the people with hollow promises of peace. God himself says he will tear down those walls and expose their lies. The modern peace process mirrors this perfectly. Politicians speak of land for peace, that's a scary one, while denying Israel's covenant right to the land. Global leaders push for coexistence without repentance, coexistence without truth, and coexistence without Christ. But the Bible's clear, peace without righteousness is a counterfeit peace. The false peace we see in Gaza right now is not just political. It's actually little more than spiritual rebellion. It's mankind trying to fix a broken world while ignoring the only true healer. Real peace will never be found in signed treaties or international conferences. Again, those of us who are Christians already know this. True eternal peace can only come through the Prince of Peace himself, Jesus Christ. And until he returns, like it or not, the Middle East will remain a stage for prophecy, turmoil, and divine revelation. So what do you think of that, David? I mean, right now, you know, President Trump is holding this thing up, right, saying that, the peace treaty is holding and all that. But it's not, is it?
Nah, it never is. And we knew that going in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we all told Trump about the swamp and the first time around. And listen, why do you got Fauci in there? Why you got Bolton in there? Why'd you pick Pence? And so he was in there, and then so you had all the rhinos trying to say, oh, yeah, well, here's a guy. Well, he found out. And the next time around, he's like, okay, we're not playing anymore. So now Fauci's under indictment. Like Lolita James here, finally, the grand jury indicted. She's looking at, I think, 60 years in jail. So that's going to be fun and exciting.
Right.
And then Bolton was just, you know, put up for indictment by a grand jury. Pence was actually implicated in working with him. So this time around, he thinks, okay, I'm going to be the guy who creates his peace agreement and Hamas is going to go with it. Well, now he's finding out that, no, Hamas is never going to go with it. Their whole MO, and they even put out tweets and their news articles that says, yeah, this is only going to buy us some breathing room so we can gear up again. And they're encouraging their people that, oh, this is just breathing room so we can regain and then attack again. And that's their MO, and that's precisely what they've done. So I think he's learned that lesson. So I don't know if he actually knew that before and said, okay, well, now there's no excuse. The world can't say, oh, look, it's Israel. We had a peace agreement with me, and they denied it. So have at it. So I don't know if he's learned a lesson from this or if it was, you know, a setup from the beginning by him.
No, I don't think he's learned a lesson. You know, that's my personal opinion.
You don't think Trump learned his lesson?
No, because I think he's listening to Jared Kushner. You know, until I'm proven wrong, that's my stance on it. You know, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Sort of a thing. Yeah, you know, Jared Kushner, being Jewish and being his son-in-law combined, gives Trump, you know, well, okay, I've got to listen to this guy because he's of the Jewish faith, and he wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't lead me wrong, and he's my son-in-law, and he wouldn't lead me wrong. And whether Trump is a Christian or not, you know, it's debatable how much of the Bible he knows based on what I have heard him say.
Yeah, he doesn't know a lot.
Is in baby steps, okay? I mean, he may be a Christian. You know, he may be, but he's early on.
Misinformed.
Yeah, he's early on in his walk. Let's put it that way, because I don't think he knows Scripture very well. And if he's listening to, what's her name, Paula?
Paula White.
Yeah, yeah, if he's listening to her, you know, we're in trouble.
Big trouble.
Yeah. I do know that Prime Minister Netanyahu was saying that, okay, Hamas has violated the terms. We are going to do this and we're going to do that. For instance, they were going to close down the Rafah crossing again. And Trump said, no, don't do that. Don't do that yet. You know, hold back. They were going to go ahead and go in pretty much full force because Hamas had violated the agreement. And Trump said, no, hold them up. You know, with peace still in place. So, you know, I think he's holding them back. And that's the reason I don't think he's learned his lesson, David, because we know that this peace agreement is going to fall apart. And for those of you out there who are saying, yeah, it's still in place, keep this segment and watch it again, because I guarantee you, I promise you, there is a 100% chance that the peace agreement is going to fall apart. 100%. And if it doesn't, then you can disavow us, okay? But I promise you, it's going to fall apart. Right or wrong, David?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a MO. They've already said it themselves. I've already done it. I don't know why people can't see that. They've already started shooting people. They've already started to sneak up on Israel with their weapons.
Right.
And Israel, you know, fights back, and now Israel's getting a hard time again.
I mean,
same old story.
Yeah.
As far as the tribulation peace agreement that we have, There's, again, it's a conflating of several different things that people put together. Now, he says, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. So everyone thinks it's a peace and safety covenant agreement. But in Daniel, it actually says he will enforce the covenant. So when seeing enforcing a covenant, which means there has to be some kind of covenant in place already.
Right.
Maybe even an ancient one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it's not like he's making a new one. And this was a new peace agreement. So yeah, it does fit on one half of this. When they do say peace and safety, that's when the sudden destruction comes. But it is not the agreement of the enforcing the covenant, an existing covenant, for 7 years.
100%.
So I am of the opinion that that particular covenant spoken of in Daniel is the covenant that Israel has over Jerusalem. And at one point, and they'll say, okay, we will have a peace agreement that is, but it's based on, we will enforce the old covenant. We recognize that Israel has this covenant for Jerusalem, so we'll allow them to build the temple.
Okay, so you think, in essence there, that they're just going to say, okay, Islamic world, get over yourself. We're going to do this whether you like it or not.
At some point, they will agree to it, but obviously, because it's only going to last 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
right.
But they'll agree. They'll say, okay, we establish that. We'll reinforce the covenant. We say, yes, Israel has a right to Jerusalem so they can build the temple.
Okay.
But that's only because they're forced to somewhere along the line, because they're, they need breathing space.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 3.5 years, here comes the Antichrist.
Okay. So, but this is futuristic that we're talking about as far as this particular. Yeah.
I don't think it's this
particular
thing.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's this one either. Again, the thing is already falling apart. And so, I don't know how long it's going to last, a week, maybe a month. I think that'd be pushing it, to get out to a month. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, Halloween is coming up, so
maybe till then. I mean, it could be any. It could be anything. But you're going to continue to, in the news, I guarantee it, in the news, you're going to hear more and more reports about this is failing and that's failing. And, of course, they're going to blame Israel. This is, almost guaranteed. I'm not guaranteeing this one, but it's almost guaranteed that it's going to be blamed on Israel, even though it's Hamas. It's going in there and killing civilians and, accusing them of working with the IDF and all this kind of stuff. And they're violating the terms of the first point of a 20-point peace plan. They're already, now think about that for a second. This is a 20-point peace plan. We're in phase one. And they haven't done their part yet. They have released the living hostages. They still have a lot of the dead hostages that they're holding on to. And, living or dead, these families want their bodies of their relatives back. So, it's kind of like they're holding them in anyway. Even though they're dead, they're still a bargaining chip, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, Israel, they respect the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So they want them back, and the families clearly want them back as well.
Right.
Not only because they want them back, but it's also it's closure. How do I know my son, my daughter isn't still alive and they just said they're dead?
Right. And they have also sent back bodies that are not hostages, that like are Hamas civilians or people that worked with Israel, that they knew worked with, or thought they worked with Israel. They've sent those bodies back. Well, Israel is identifying each and every one. They got the DNA, they got all that stuff, so they know how to
do
it.
That nowadays.
Yeah, and so they're saying, no, this isn't one. This isn't an Israeli here. This isn't one of the ones that we're missing. So That's just another violation that they got going on. Now, before we move on here, I do want to remind you guys that if you are looking for a meaningful way to stand firm for Christian values in a world that's drifting further from the truth, then we invite you to take part with us here at the Last Christian Radio Show, because we are 100% listener supported. Every broadcast, every platform, every message, we rely on you to keep the mission alive. Now, you can donate to us directly at lastchristian.net. You'll see there on the screen, you'll see the little code there, QR code. You can do that with your phone. Every gift matters, no matter the size, and every donation is fully tax deductible. You can also help by purchasing some of the everyday products that you already use from our trusted partners like the Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book, and through our partnership with the Israel Institute of Biblical Studies. You can actually register for courses that will take you deeper into God's Word. Students save up to 45% if you use the link that is exclusive on our site. Now, these are quality products and resources you'll love, and every purchase through our links does fuel the ministry. So please do visit lastchristian.net today. Stand with us, pray with us, and support the mission, because time is short, and we definitely want to get the message out there for everybody. All right, coming up next here, David, we've got the prophetic foundations, what the Bible says must happen.
Ooh.
So to understand why these peace efforts always collapse, we've got to look at what God has revealed through prophecy. Now, you've already mentioned Daniel 9:27. The prophet speaks of a coming world ruler who will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, this week represents 7 years, the tribulation period that's still to come. The Antichrist will present himself as a peacemaker, a man who can finally resolve the Middle East conflict. Israel will enter into that agreement. But the Bible says it's clear that halfway through, after 3.5 years, he will betray it. So you look at Revelation 6, 2, and 4, 2 through 4. This shows in symbolic form, the first rider on the white horse represents a false peace, a deceptive calm before the storm. We've got the red horse that follows that brings war and bloodshed. The prophetic pattern is clear. Peace that excludes God always precedes judgment. So every peace deal today foreshadows that coming false covenant. Every diplomatic triumph, every breakthrough agreement, every summit that leaves out the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob prepares the world for the ultimate deception. The world will, without any question, embrace a global leader who promises stability, but his peace will be built on lies. This is why true Christians never place their hope in man's treaties. We look not for a political peace, but for the kingdom to come, a peace that will come when Christ reigns from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, as foretold in Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. Before that day, chaos must come. Nations will rise, the covenant will be broken. The third temple will, in fact, be built in Jerusalem, no matter what the scoffers say. And it will be desecrated by the Antichrist declaring himself to be God. Only after that period of unimaginable tribulation will Jesus Christ return to establish the real everlasting peace that mankind has longed for, but has refused to receive on God's terms. So what do you have to say about that, David?
Yeah, I mean, the Bible always says, God is always telling us, even Jesus himself, what are the main things he said? I'll be with you until the end. Mm-hmm. Don't fear and don't be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the essence of our show, is with, you know, showing people, hey, these are all the things he talked about. Read Matthew 24. You know, these things are starting to come. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're coming on Israel, because it's what it's talking about. All these, you're going to see all these things. Those are in Judea, flee to the mountain. So here we are, we're at the end, but we want to encourage you. Jesus will always be there. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he says, don't fear what, you know, man could, who could take your body, but, you know, fear the one who could take your body and then your soul.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and so fear not and don't be deceived. You know, all of these things coming around, and every last one of them is built on a lie. But we'll see them happening. You know, the Russian war, it's all built on lies. The Israel war, all built on lies. You know, with Hamas, all of us built on lies. Even the United States, all our news is all built on lies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And be not deceived, he said. Mm-hmm. This is going to happen. Watch what happens.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. It's like, you know, we've just come to a point where it's like, okay, let's just watch this and point it all out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm on all these Telegram channels and all that, you know, and I'm seeing more and more scoffers. You know, that's as the Bible said, you know, well, you know, this has been going on forever. All this stuff's been going on forever. So I pulled this one out today. This is 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 9. It says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget. I like that, willfully forget. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing. Don't forget this one thing, that when the Lord, with the Lord, one day is a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you've gone over that not only on our news shows, but on our Bible studies as well. The one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years in one day. Anytime a Bible says something twice, you better pay attention to it.
And reverses it.
Yeah, you better pay attention to it. So I'll let you put on your teacher's hat here for a minute and go.
Oh, I got the hat? I'm going to check out my hat.
You almost do, David. You almost do have a hat there.
Yeah. Okay, move over.
There you go, right about there.
Hey. All right, so here we are. He's talking about the end. In be mindful of the words and commandments of the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, and they're walking after their own lusts. In other words, they're just doing what they want to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they say, where is the promise of his coming? And that's what we hear. And the more I hear it, the more it proves that we're at the end of the age.
Amen.
All right. It says, wow, you realize you're prophetic. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it says you're stupid on purpose. It says so right here in verse 5. You're willingly ignorant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that means you're choosing to be stupid.
Right.
And that's an issue for them. But it's also an encouraging sign for us, because it means that this first in the last days will come. So this is the first thing you got to know. Here's the first. What do you need to know first? This. In the last days, the scoffers will come walking after their own lust. Mm-hmm. And if you read this, it's evolution language.
Okay.
All right? And this is what has happened. Because what's the main premise of evolution?
Oh, that, there's no other word for it. Evolve. One stage to another.
Right. And the foundation of that is there has to be an immense amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of God being the creator of the universe, God becomes time. So time is the creator of the universe.
I see.
Okay.
I see,
so they don't say there's no God. They just change the name to time and randomness.
And science. Okay? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, even science is a study of how God made things, so they can't even use science.
Yeah, well, you know, I try to do that just for a second. I try to do that with people on Telegram and say, you know, well, God created science. That's the only statement I'm going to make. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, and it 100%. He created all the laws of physics and quantum physics, by the way. So it's his science. You can't take that either. Sorry, go get your own science. that this belongs to God.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, they needed long amounts of time to fit in with this. So here we are right at the end again. And it's not a new thing, except in the Western culture, because the Hinduism's created that, you know, reincarnation. And we're here millions of years, and you just get reincarnated into a bug or a worm or an elephant or something. Okay. Until you get it right. And then you can go to Shangri-La. So not going to happen. So, but the idea is time, and they wanted to create a time loop. That's that whole snake that's eating its tail. If they can create a time loop, then they don't ever have to get to the end where the judgment is. They can just keep running round and round in this circle over here. That's the mentality of all this pagan rituals and these fake gods that have fallen, the fallen watchers. They're just trying to create a time loop. So there's quantum physics for you as well.
That's so, kind of like, and the other people, Putin, for instance, when he met with Qi, the Chinese guy, he said that with science, we're going to be living forever now. I mean, he actually said that. You know, it's one of those hot mic deals. You know, where he didn't know he was on, and he was.
Yeah, they think they're gonna grow humans in petri dishes and harvest their organs, and you'll be able to live forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah. So, all right. You know, that's worth. Yeah.
We'll see how that works out for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here they got these. Now they've embedded it, and they had to start in the 1850s because you have to build that over successive generations to get it into society so people think that's the way it's always been. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not the way it's always been. You know, before the 1800s, everybody knew and believed that there was a creator, and then we had this amount of a time frame. Doesn't mean they were all Christians and they loved the Lord, but they knew of God, and they knew how everything worked. Okay. Now, that's here we get into this mentality. So this is really a prophecy about the end of the age, because to say this, they would have to believe in evolution, which only came around recently. So it says, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. This is the same idea. It's not catastrophism. It's basically, everything was the same forever. And that's why we have carbon-14 dating. Oh, it's just the same since... No, there's catastrophism. Okay, we have the flood. We have a bunch of other different things that happen. And they're willingly ignorant. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So it's talking about even the flood time. Mm-hmm. He says, you're willingly ignorant. You choose not to believe the flood. Right. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, so they're a little different now, by the same word are kept in store against the day of judgment. Don't be ignorant of this one thing. A thousand years is as one day, and one day is as a thousand years. He's saying, go back to the beginning. That's a microcosm of the time space of creation. We're going to have 6,000 years of earth history and then a 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, which is the Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. And that day is coming up pretty quick, folks. So I would suggest that you would accept the contract that he made for you in Jesus shedding his blood to pay off your sin debt, because other than that, you have to pay for your own sins, and that would be a separation from God, because the wages of sin is death. So Lord willing, we will see you guys in the second half, and we're going to be talking a lot more about these cool things. We'll see you guys then. Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what lies beyond the veil of what we call reality, what the mainstream refuses to acknowledge and the church too often fears to confront? Every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Shadows of a Greater Reality dares to pull back that veil, exposing the hidden, the mysterious, and the prophetic. Hosted by Nestor Arce and David Paxton, together with guest experts from around the world, this gripping hour explores the supernatural, the unexplained, and the biblically prophetic connections that are shaping our world in real time. From shadow governments to spiritual warfare, ancient prophecies, to current day phenomena, if you think it's just conspiracy, think again.
Tune in nightly at 10 p.m. Central to Shadows of a Greater Reality right here on Revelation Radio, where nothing is filtered, nothing is censored, and nothing is off limits. Because the truth is stranger and more urgent than fiction.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton here in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
David, we'll get right back into this thing. We're going to go with the words of Jesus Christ about these last days. Can't go to a better source than that. So
he knows what he's talking about.
Yes, he does. When the disciples asked Jesus what signs would precede his return, his answer was not vague at all. It was precise, layered, and prophetic. If you look in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, Jesus warned of wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. He said these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, in our time, these words are playing themselves out in real time. Conflicts erupting across the globe, economies on the brink of failure, and deception spreading faster than truth. Jesus said, "See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." The world is witnessing the early contractions before the final travail of judgment. Christ also foretold of increasing persecution of believers, the rise of false prophets, and the worldwide spread of the gospel as a final witness before the end. Now, remember, he spoke of Jerusalem being trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. That's Luke 21:24. Today, Jerusalem stands at the center of every global debate. That's just more proof that prophecy is unfolding before our eyes. The Lord's warnings match perfectly with Revelation's description of the coming one world system, the mystery Babylon of Revelation 17:18, a global alliance of political power, false religion, and economic control that mirrors the rebellion of Babel. Humanity, once again, is trying to reach heaven on its own terms. Now, Jesus knew and told us that this would happen. He declared in John 16, verse 33, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." That's why believers see beyond the chaos. We recognize these birth pains not as despair, but as a confirmation that the King will be returning very soon. What are your initial comments on that, David? And then we'll go deeper into it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we talk about all the time. You know, we say these things not to scare you, unless it's going to scare you to the throne of Christ. That's a little bit different. They are to encourage you, and it's the goodness of God that leads one to repentance. We want you to know that Jesus is good, and all those dreams you have of the perfect world can happen and will happen when Jesus returns to rule for 1,000 years. And then after that, a whole new heavens and a new earth where there will be no sin anymore, ever.
Well, now, let me ask you about this part, you know, because he said, you know, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Okay, well, how are you going to be of good cheer when you got all this crap going on all around you, you know? That's tough, right?
Well, it is if you don't understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
If I had... let's say, as an example, that you bought the lottery ticket, right? You got the Powerball, and here it is. It's $82 million, okay? Now, you have it in your hand and in your wallet, and now you put it in your pocket. You know you have that, and it's winning, and it's $82 million. And they're going to take half of it for taxes. So you got 41 left.
mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, are you really going to worry about, you know, whether the rent is due?
Not a bit.
Like a week ago?
Not a bit.
Yeah, the rent's due a week ago, and it's chaos, and this guy's yelling outside my window, and and my doctor bills aren't paid, and, you know, what am I going to do about my kid's college? All this stuff that you worried about, you know, oh, man, all I got to do is go to the store and I got $41 million.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I'll do this, but I'm not going to do it all right away because then all of a sudden I got relatives I never knew I had.
Right, exactly.
So you basically have a calm peace about it. Well, this is that much better, okay? Yeah, you got the chaos of the world. We understand that. We have this, we have that, but we have the ultimate lottery ticket, if you would, except that Jesus already paid for it and it's already won and he's got a lot more money. So way more than 41 million.
For real. Yeah.
And he says, I want you to be my son, to be my daughter. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I want to be with you for eternity. Mm-hmm. Now, once you really understand that, this is what I have, but it's in my heart, not even in my back pocket. It's right here in my heart. I know the King of Kings, and I know, you know, it's any second now that he's going to return so I could cash this in, if you would. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And once you understand that contract that you have with the King of the Universe, it really doesn't matter. Listen, it's 1 minute or the next 50 years. If you're still here, it's still 1 minute. Mm-hmm. in the eternal realm. Mm-hmm. It's any second now, even if it's 50 years from now, it's literally any second.
It truly is the blink of an eye, or however, I forget the exact terminology, but mm-hmm. you know, it really is that. I mean, when you think about it, how do you measure never started to never ends? Because, mm-hmm. you know, that's what the eternity time is. It never started mm-hmm. and it never ends. So, you know, and I know that's hard to comprehend. It's hard for us Christians to comprehend, but we know that's the truth, right?
It's hard to comprehend the Powerball.
Right? So that's the reason that we can walk around here and we don't get all worked up about anything that's going on, whether it be in Israel or whether it be here in the United States with protests or riots or whatever the case may be. You know, mm-hmm. whoever is in who's president, who's not, who's in Congress, who's not, who's in the Senate, who's not, what the Supreme Court's all about. Who cares? It does not matter in the end. We know that we're going to heaven and we're going to be there for eternity with Jesus Christ. And we've read the end of the book. And if you haven't read the book yet, then you need to get the Bible out and educate yourself and not be willfully ignorant like we talked mm-hmm. about in the first part of the show, right?
Exactly. 100%. You know, and just look, he says, believe in your heart. That's what that means. Mm-hmm. You know, you read this and he obviously, you know, fulfilled every last prophecy up until now. So mm-hmm. the rest of them will probably be true too.
Right.
So, you know, that's what he means by believe in your heart. If you confess mm-hmm. with your mouth and believe in your heart, mm-hmm. then you'll be saved.
Yeah.
It's simple as that.
Yeah.
It really is that simple.
Well, now, moving ahead a little bit here, people are worried about this tribulation thing coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of debate, David, and, you know, we've got friends that don't believe the rapture is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to people that think it happens at the midway point, which I think is the stupidest position to take. That
one, yeah, it doesn't that make makes, sense, yeah, but okay.
That one makes no sense at all to me. But they say, well, you know, Christians are going to be there too. Well, okay. I pulled up this scripture today because this is the one that means a lot to me personally. I don't know what it
means. Nice.
But anyway, this is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 3 through 9. I want y'all to listen to this very, very carefully. It says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think anything is more clear about we're not going to be involved in this tribulation than those verses. What do you think, David?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them like that.
There's a lot of them like that, right.
Mm-hmm. The main issue that I've always come across, and it's, you know, well-meaning, you know, people, and just to be clear, it's not a salvation issue as the timing of when Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
You know that he is coming back. Mm-hmm. Now, if you say he's not coming back, then, you know, maybe you're not so safe. I got to check. Mm-hmm. But if he's coming back, but I think he's coming back on Tuesday. No, I think he's coming back on Wednesday. That's kind of just us guessing when our bridegroom is coming back. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty good place to be. However, without fail, I think everyone who believes in either a mid or a post-tribulation rapture mm-hmm. is conflating verses that have to do with Israel versus the church.
Amen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest that before Paul, that it was all a mystery. So there'll be types and patterns that are used that represent the rapture, such as Isaac and Rebecca and Eliezer going to get her, the new wife.
Right.
And then, matter of fact, that's the next time we see him. Isaac, in the narrative, Isaac is, you know, taken up to the mountain to be sacrificed. Abraham comes down with the two men, but without Isaac. And then the next time we see Isaac, he's coming to get his bride.
Mm-hmm.
And in that passage with Rebecca. So that's kind of a rapture, kind of a picture.
Right.
Lot is snatched out. We see Enoch is taken out and then Noah is protected through, because that would represent, Israel. So we don't see anything other than illusions, whereas Paul speaks to it directly and even says, behold, I show you a mystery.
Amen. Right.
In other words, this mm-hmm. was hidden, and it was hidden in all these things. So you'll see the patterns. But let mm-hmm. me tell you exactly what that mystery means that will be taken out of the way as the body of believers. Mm-hmm. And it just makes the most sense.
Right.
But people don't understand that there's, you know, Israel's a, you know, it's a different origins, different mm-hmm. missions, different mm-hmm. everything. We're all saved by Jesus. He's still the Messiah. But the Messiah has a couple different harvests, okay?
Right.
And he's got tribulation saints. It's a different group of people. It's like a military. You know, it's all under one commander in chief, but you got the Air Force, the Navy, the Marines, you know, mm-hmm. the Army, the Space Force, you know, mm-hmm. the National Guard. You have the Coast Guard. All these different military operations. They're all under one chief. It's kind of like that. We're all mm-hmm. different roles under the one chief, which would be the King of Kings. And they're conflating Israel with the church in a lot of the passages. Matter of fact, all the passages.
Yeah.
I can 100% tell you, if someone's given me arguments for a post-trib rapture, without even looking at it now, I could tell you they're conflating verses that have to do with Israel and even Jesus saying some of these things. Jesus didn't talk about the rapture. He talked about Israel, what was going to happen when he returned to mm-hmm. rule.
Mm-hmm.
And you can 100% will say you're conflating the two, and that's about Israel. This verse is about the church.
Mm-hmm.
This is the coming to meet him in the air. This is the coming to the earth to rule and reign. It's different. You really have to parse those things out. And that hasn't been taught well. The rapture crowd for all these years has just been a little loopy, to be honest with you. Yeah. Hey, we're going to disappear, you know, and then they make up all sorts of other crazy stuff too. And that not only gives Christians a bad name, but gives the rapture a misguided view.
Well, I've noticed, again, being on Telegram the way I am, I'm seeing a number of people now who claim to be the Christians, and yet they are pointing to discrepancies, they say,
mm-hmm.
that they see. And, of course, you know, these are the cherry pickers, right? They go mm-hmm. in and they pull one verse out, and then they put their personal interpretation into that one verse, which mm-hmm. I counter it, you know, every time by putting in the whole thing, you know, and putting it all in context. But one thing that has really come out lately is denominations. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, the Church of Christ is the only church that goes to heaven. Mm-hmm. The Baptists, you know, the Baptists this, or the Methodists over here. you know, and what I keep trying to tell people, and maybe you can put it in better terms than me, is there are no denominations in heaven. You're not going to have a Baptist section and a Methodist section, and there is no such thing as a Muslim section or a Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints section. Those sections mm-hmm. do not, they're not there. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some people in that are supposedly in those religions that won't be in heaven. Maybe they will, because because they were actually Christians for real, but you know, they just kind of, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe that one. But there are no denominations in heaven. That's the point, right?
Mm-hmm. They're not denominations. Now, if you're gonna be separating the Israelites, the Jews, mm-hmm. from the church, yeah, there's the difference there, because mm-hmm. they'll rule and reign on the earth for that 1,000 years when we rule and reign, you know, in the heavenlies with Christ for 1,000 years.
Right.
That's going to be the main difference there. But as far as the denomination, just reminds me of the joke, though. It's like, you know, the guy died and he gets to heaven. Jesus is showing him around. And, oh, and over this room we have over here is these people. And this was this. Oh, shh. It's like, why? I says, this room has a Church of Christ. They think they're the only ones here. And then it keeps going.
Right. All right. Well, let's look at this last one here because why the secular world ignores biblical reality. In these prophetic times, one of the greatest fulfillments of Scripture is not just in wars and earthquakes, but in willful ignorance. That's the second or third time we've mentioned that. The Bible foretold that the last days would be marked by just that. 2 Peter 3:3-4, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? The modern world mocks prophecy. Politicians and media elites dismiss biblical truth as myth. Even many churches have grown silent about the return of Christ, choosing comfort over conviction. The secular world sees peace as a product of human progress, not divine mercy. It clings to globalism, humanism, and interfaith unity. They believe that through technology, diplomacy, and tolerance, mankind can create paradise without God. But this is the very rebellion that Scripture condemns. In Revelation 18, when Babylon, the final global system, collapses, the Bible teaches the merchants and kings of the earth weep. Their economy, their pride, their world order, all destroyed in a single hour. That fall will expose the emptiness of everything man built apart from the Lord. The truth is, this generation is witnessing the unraveling of human arrogance. The collapse of the Middle East peace agreement is not just another failed treaty. It is a prophetic signpost pointing to Christ's soon return. To believers, this is no surprise. We knew it would fail because the Bible told us that only the Prince of Peace can bring real peace. And Jesus made this promise in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now that message for every listener, the world's peace will crumble, but Christ's peace endures forever. So what we need for you to do, and what you should do, is stay watchful, stay faithful, because the King is coming soon. What do you got to say, David?
Yeah, he's 100% coming. Now, we saw the scoffers, we talked about that, but I think the big thing here is the same old story from the beginning.
Okay.
You can be like God, but you don't need God to be like God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can do this all by yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what kind of hubris you need to think that you could do that. I mean, you weren't here 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, and the world kind of was here without you, you know, 100, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, even 5,000 years ago now. It was here doing what it does long before you even showed up. Yet you're going to come on board and say, all of a sudden say, well, I'm God and I can do this and that and the other. Yet you didn't even know anything about your own existence. You don't even know how you came into existence. You just kind of got some basics. Oh, okay. Yeah. The sperm and the egg. And I get that. Yeah. What are the underlying implications of how life even started to get to that point, to create a sentientness, you know, a conscious, how did you create that? It's just, it's ridiculous to think about. Yet here we are, the vast majority of the world thinks that they're God.
Yeah. Well, you know, you look at, they're talking of this peace agreement. Okay. Getting back to it. They think that they've come up with this everlasting peace. I can't remember exactly the terminology, but it was something close to that, everlasting or eternal or something like that. Okay. And they were crediting President Trump with coming to this after 3,000 years. I heard him emphasize this several times. Over 3,000 years, you know, these people have been going at it, and Trump solved it. No,
yeah, sure he did.
He did not solve it. Okay. Again, I'm guaranteeing you that this peace agreement is going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. It's already...
Well, Hamas is going to violate it.
Yeah, it's almost over now. I mean, they've already... the day that Israel pulled back a little bit, and just a little bit, okay, they pulled back to a certain position, the day they did that, Hamas went in and started killing people to show them, we are still in charge. We, you know, you are still under our foot. We can crush you anytime we want. Mm-hmm. But when you've got that, you do not have peace. You don't. You know, they've limited the trucks that are going in with the supplies, the aid, or whatever, the free stuff, free, that Israel has taken into them. They've delayed that because they're afraid that they're going to lose more hostages, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to, isn't it? It's not the trucks, it's not the supplies, it's the people, right?
Yeah, they probably desecrated a lot of those things, and they know they won't be able to get them back. Mm-hmm. Or they're buried in the tunnels that were exploded, or they just, you know, maybe they dumped them somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they know, you know, the only reason they said they had them is to use them as a bargaining chip.
Right.
But now they're like, oh, crap, they called us on, you know, to task here, and we don't have them. So let's start a fight and then blame them and then say, well, now we're not going to give them to you.
Yeah. Do you think that they are using those dead hostages as a bargaining chip at this point? Do you think that that's what they're doing?
I think they don't have them, but they're pretending they do, and then using that as a bargaining chip.
Okay.
Because if Israel finds out for sure that they don't have them, forget it. They're going to blow the whole place to smithereens.
Yeah, yeah. They've already hit some areas, again, in response to what Hamas is doing. I mean, they're not instigating anything, but they are also, they're going to continue to defend themselves. They are going to continue to retaliate. And, of course, the world doesn't look at it like that. You know, it's all Israel's fault. It's always Israel's fault, right?
Yep. And then, you know, Israel, the only reason they're not bombing every last thing there is because they are concerned about the bodies that are left.
Mm-hmm. That, and they also need American support. And, you know, as long as President Trump is telling them, do not go in there and just take them apart, because they could. I mean, they could take them apart in a day, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, remember, they won a 6-day war, right? So, you know, this little Gaza Strip ain't nothing compared to that. So, you know, I think they could probably take it apart in one day if they wanted to. But they don't want to lose American aid, because, you know, we do supply them with a lot of not only weapons, but just general protection. I mean, the United States supposedly will come to their aid if they're under real stress. And if Trump is telling them we won't do that, if you go in there and do what you really should do, if Trump tells them that, they won't move. They're not going to break the bond with the United States, in my opinion. Am I wrong, David?
Yeah, I think that's certainly a consideration that they have. It's like, hey, he's our strongest ally. Maybe not piss him off. That'd probably be a good idea.
Right.
But I think it just brings me around to the topic of a lot of anti-Semitism. So you got Katar Tuckelson and Candace Katar. Mm-hmm. So she and the both of them are basically railing on Israel as a nation.
When did they start that? They weren't always like that.
I don't know. I think I read somewhere that Tucker's entire station was funded by the Qatarians, how they're funding universities and everything else around the world. So and they're doing it, they say, hey, look, we donate this money, come on, do it, say what we tell you to say. And that's just the MO. But I not only that, but you got on one hand you have to say, yeah, there are some Jews who are doing that, but there are Russians who are doing that. There are Americans who are doing that. There are Chinese that are doing that. Okay, but we don't. Yeah, there's a lot of evil in our government here in the United States. But I can't just say, oh, we just hate the United States and we're gonna blow it up. You know,
we
hate the evil that's in the United States.
Mm-hmm,
but you can't say the Israeli people are actually really good people.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Although you do have the evil factions in there, and some of them are in the government, but there's good factions that they're in the government.
Sure.
And for the most part, the people just want to live their lives.
And I think that's true with every country.
That is just the way it goes. So to just blanket and say, oh, Israel's bad, and that means that this isn't the nation that God has, in his prophecy, that's just ridiculous. Because it was like exactly to the day when it was prophesied that it would become a nation again, and exactly in the manner, and here we are, in with all the fig tree and all the trees in leaf. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the prophecy fits perfectly. So you're not going to tell me that it's not the Israel that's in the Bible.
Well,
they're apostate. Yeah, they need to be saved. That's coming.
David, I don't know if I should have done this or not, but I went to ChatGPT. Okay, and I said, based on everything that the Bible says, taking into account the Essenes, I mentioned them specifically, when is the end of the world? And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
It came back with a date.
Oh, very nice.
Based on the Essenes.
Okay.
2026.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, there was also another one.
Was that in March?
I don't remember.
Is that the end of this Jubilee year in March?
You know we don't do dates here. And the thing is I wanted to say that simply because that's based on the Essene calendar from way back.
Yep.
But there was also different Essene calendars. There was also some deviations from it. It put it out to like 2075 or something like that.
Correct.
Okay. So anyway, I just thought I'd mention that. And the only reason I'm mentioning it is not to set a date. Okay. I'm not doing that. I'm not setting a date in any way, shape, or form. What I'm trying to get across to you is time is short. Maybe it is 2026. Maybe it is 2025. Maybe it is 2075. That's a blink of the eye. Okay? If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ yet, you better, because you don't know the day or the hour. Only God knows that. But you got to be ready. You better be ready. And, that's really the only point I wanted to make. So, if you haven't, please do accept Jesus Christ. And if we have time, we'll be back next time.
The world is always searching for peace, yet every treaty signed without God always ends in chaos. The Bible has warned us that only the return of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, will bring a true and lasting peace to Israel and to the nations. Until that day, we must stand and watch, unmoved, unafraid, and unwavering in the truth of God's Word. Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Last Christian Radio Show. We hope you will support this ministry and help us spread the gospel by visiting www.lastchristian.net. Every donation, large or small, is greatly appreciated. And remember to tune in each night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central on KRRB Revelation Radio at www.revelationradio.net. Because as we remind you every night, the unfiltered and censored truth starts right here.